All right, we're holding on Kuf Hey Amud Beis, the third line of the wide lines. We learned in the Mishnah, Cholte B'Shnayim B'Chula, that if the Yavama did, that if the Yavama did Yibum in front of two Dayanim, or three, and one of them was Pasul, then the Tanakama had said the Chalitza is Pasul, Rav Shimon and Rav Yechon and Sandler said that it was Kosher. So the Gemara says, Amr of Yosef, Amr Yumi, Amr of Nachman, Ein Halacha Ka'isa Hazug. The Halacha is not like that pair of Chachamim. The Halacha is that that two is not enough. So the Gemara asks, Amr of Nachman, Chod Zimna. Didn't Rav Nachman already say that? The Amr of Yosef, Amr Yumi, Amr of Nachman, Chalitza B'Shloisha. Udu in the Perek, we had that the same Rav Yosef Amman Yumi said in the name of the same Rav Nachman that the halacha that chalitza requires three. So why does he have to repeat again and say that the halacha is not like Rav Shimon and Rav Yechon and Asanlo that two is enough? The answer is the Gemara says tzrichi. We need both statements of Rav Nachman. The e itmar hach kamaisa. If you only have the first statement, if you only have the first one that we quoted over here, namely that the if we only have the first statement, the one that was earlier in the perek, that chalitza is the shloisha, then habamina hani milah hatchila. You would think that means hatchila. You need three. Abel diyevid after the tray, but maybe the diyevid it would be good even with two. Kamashimon ain halacha kois azug. So therefore, Rav Nachman needs to inform us that no, the halacha is categorically not like that zug, meaning even the diyevid. On the other hand, the iyashmin and ain halacha kois azug. If on the other hand, if he told us the halacha is not like them, ella Ketanakama, but rather the halacha is like Ketanakama that you need three, have amin diyevid, then you would think that it's enough that that's the diyevid, you can have three, but l'hatchila you would need five. Now we discussed at the beginning of the perek that we have the machloikas from Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether you need three or five. So without Rav Nachman telling us clearly that the halacha is that three, you would have thought he's actually passing in like Rav Yehuda, but l'hatchila you should have five, and only b'diyevet if you had three, then you're yotze tzricha, and therefore we need both. Now, we said the halacha is in fact that you need five, but the five is really only to be mefarsim it. And as we said, the other two are not really the same as the others. They don't necessarily need to have all the qualifications of the three as far as being so knowledgeable. They, according to the Mechaber, they even sit opposite the three. According to the Ramah, they sit next to them. But the point is, in other words, that if we went like Rabbi Yehuda and we said l'chatchila five, then it would mean that we should really have five that have all the qualifications of Dayanim and they all sit together, etc. So now, with the two statements of Rav Nachman, the situation is clear. You should have five, fine, to be mefarsim, but of them, only three need to be real Dayanim, but you must have three. Any less than three is no good. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah Maisa Shecholtzu Chola, we had a case where chalitza was done beinu levena, between him and her in jail. Now, on the face of it, between him and her implies that nobody else was watching. And we said that the case was brought to Rabbi Akiva, and he said it's kosher. But the question is beinu levena mi yadina. If they did it by themselves, how would we even know that it happened? In particular, not only how would we know, what if they tell us, but the Ritva says we have a concept called Ein Dover Sheva Erva Pachus Mishnayim. Anything that involves matters of Arayas in Kedushin, Gittin, in this case, Chalitza, which is changing a person's status, which is changing a woman's status as far as whom she's allowed and not allowed to marry, you always need at least two. So you need at least two Edim to have seen it. You're right. What we mean is that Edim saw from the outside. So the couple were by themselves, but there were Edim watching from the outside and observing, and they afterwards came and testified that it was done. So the question is now, the Mishnah had phrased it. It said, So what is Beis HaAsurim referred to? Does it mean that the couple were in jail and the case was brought to Rav Akiva? Or does it mean the case was brought to Rav Akiva in jail? So in both, Maisa Shecholtzu Beinu Levena Avroi, does it mean that the Chalitza took place outside the jail? And that then the case was brought to Rav Akiva when Rav Akiva was in jail? Or does it mean that the Chalitza itself took place in jail? So Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, v'veis ha'asurin hoi ma'aseh, u'l'veis ha'asurin ba ma'aseh. It was actually both. The couple were in jail, and the case was brought to Rav Akiva, also in jail. As we said the other day, the story involving Rav Yochanan and a sandler, where he disguised himself, Tosfos brings that over here, that he disguised himself as a peddler, and went around calling out various things that he has for sale, and among his catalog of things, he asks the question of Chultz Bein Levena, and Rav Akiva answered him. Rabbi Yochanan Asandlo was not the one who gave him food and water in jail. That was Rabbi Yeshua Agarasi. So apparently what it was, and then Doris Rishonim says as much, during the time when Rabbi Akiva was in jail, there were different periods of time during then. Originally, the Romans Masama knew that if they treat Rabbi Akiva too harshly, then they might face another uprising among the Jewish people. Masama also, there were rich Jews who probably gave them shoichad. There's a Gemara in Pesachim that seems to imply that Rabbi Shimon's father, Yechoi, was one of them. Anyway, so at first they treated him relatively leniently, and among others they had that his Talmud Rabbi Yeshua Agarasi could come bring him food and water, and then you have the story in Erevin where one time they spilled out half the water and he still used the rest for Netilas Yadayim. Later on, apparently this was afterwards when they had tightened up security, and then at that point he doesn't have a Talmud coming to him every day who could ask him these kinds of questions. So instead you had to have Rabbi Yochanan Sandler disguising himself as a peddler.
Were he a Kohen, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler?
Rabbi Yochanan Sandler was not a Kohen. In fact, it seems that he was descended from Malchus Beis David, because you have various prominent families that trace their descent back to Malchus Beis David, generally through Rashi and in turn through Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. So apparently he was from that family. Anyway, Tosfos points out, the Gemara knew that the case was brought to Rav Akiva in jail, because the Gemara knew, even though it's not quoting the story of Rav Yochanan Sandler as a peddler, the Babli knew of that story. So the question is just whether the Chalitza itself took place in jail as well, and the answer is that yes. Okay. The Gemara continues, Tonin Abanan, Chalitza Muta Ask Sheva. A chalitza that was done based on a mistake or that the person was misled is kosher. Ezri chalitza mutahas, what does that mean? Amarish lokish kosher omen le chalitz over kach atakonsa. If Beistin tells him, do chalitza, and that is how you need to marry her. In other words, the guy is such an amoritz that he doesn't realize that, and as we're going to say soon, we're talking about, let's say, that she does not want to do yibum, or, you know, it could be like nowadays where we don't do yibum, instead we want chalitza to be done. So we mislead the guy, so now let's say he's saying, no, what are you talking about? I want to do yibum, I want to marry her. So we tell him, do chalitza, and that's how you being a yavam and yavama, you don't have the regular kind of marriage, instead you have the chalitza kind of marriage. So then the chalitza still works, and now she's mutter to marry him. But Rabbi Yochanan says, how could that work? Ani shoyne, I teach in a braisa, ben shenisgavne hu v'leniskavne hi, whether he had kavana for chalitza and she did not, ben shenisgavne hi v'leniskavne hu, or she had kavana and he didn't, chalitzas of sula, either way the chalitza is possible, ad sheiskavnu shneim pechad, unless they both have Kavana. We even talked about the other day, for example, we have the case where Yavama at one point took off one of the brother's shoes while she was living among them. Let's say we said that she was a stepdaughter who was being raised among them, and she took off one of those shoes, so she didn't intend for it to be chalitza, but as long as one of them had kavana, then it's considered chalitza psula. It has to be that both of them have kavana. Ad she's kavna shneim ke'echad. So how are you saying that this would be a chalitza kshera? After all, she has kavana for chalitza, sure, because she knows the truth, that this is going to be matter her to others. But the yavam you're telling me is mistakenly thinking that this is the way to do the marriage, so that's not considered a kavana. The chalitza would be possible. What good is it going to do? Ella, rather, Rabbi Yochanan says, what you should say when you say chalitza mutas kshera means kol sha'omim like chalitz lo amunas shetitin lo chamasayim zuz. If they tell him, do chalitza, and the chalitza will be effective on condition that she gives you 200 zuz. Now then, even if she does not give him the 200 zuz, the chalitza is still kosher. Why is that? So Rashi explains like this. Where do we learn the whole concept that you can make a t'nai on something anyway? We learn it from the story of Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven in Parshas Matos, where they want a portion in Eivra Yarden, and they make a deal with Moshe that if they go and help conquer the main part of Eretz Yisrael, then they will receive this portion. So now, one thing we see with that tonight is it's something that could be accomplished. Good morning, Yaakov. It's something that could be accomplished through a shliach. After all, Moshe himself is not going to be around to enforce this. Yeshua is going to be doing it on his behalf. The people who are originally making the Tanai are not necessarily the ones who are going to be fighting the whole time either. Some of them might get killed in battle. And still we see that it works. So therefore, Maisa that includes a Tanai has to be something that you can do through a Shliach. Chalitza you can't do through a Shliach. Therefore, Tanai is not effective in it. Different Rishonim and Achronim talk about various angles on that, about why those two are related, and whether in fact that's the case, or whether there are other reasons. The Rambam seems to give a different reason, because after all, the Chalitza has been accomplished. Whatever the case, the point is, so therefore, Tanai is ineffective by Chalitza. Even if a Tanai was made, we ignore it, and the Chalitza is still valid. So even though they told him a Tanai, that 200 zuz, that he'll receive 200 zuz, the chalitza is still effective without the tanai, and therefore she doesn't have to pay him. Or even if she doesn't pay him, the chalitza is still valid. But that's what we mean, chalitza mutas. So the Gemara says, Tani nami hochi, in fact, we learn in a braisa like that, chalitza mutas kshera, a misled chalitza is kosher, ezri chalitza mutas, kosher anu chalitzla, amenas shetit lacham masayim zuz. If they tell him, for example, do chalitza, and she'll give you 200 condition, that she'll give you 200 zuz. Now,
and if he doesn't give the 200 zuz, the chalitza is still chal.
Actually, we're going to talk about soon. There are cases we're going to talk about soon where she does in fact have to give it. We'll get back to that point soon. But the point is that she may have to give it for other reasons. Basically, because when you hire somebody to do a job, for example, then after all you have to pay them. We're going to get to that point soon in the Gemara. But first, we're saying that so far as the dinim of chalitza are concerned, the lack of giving the 200 zuz does not prevent the chalitza from taking effect. Now, unlike, for example, we're going to talk about further down on the Amud, a get is not like that. If the husband gives a get al manas that she'll give him 200 zuz, then if she doesn't give him the 200 zuz, the get is ineffective. And the reason is, again, so according to Rashi, what we just said, that fits very well. Since a get can be given through a shliach, therefore Tanai can also be effective in it. Chalitza, we're saying, can't be done through a shliach, therefore the rules of Bnei Gad or Bnei Reuven don't apply. So she might have to give him the 200 for a different reason, which we're going to get back to in the Gemara soon, but from the point of view of Chalitza, the Chalitza will be kosher even without it. So the Gemara says, the Gemara continues, the Braisa continues. It happened once that a Yavama was up for Yibum in front of a Yavam who was not Hogun, who was not suitable for her. So not suitable could mean something as simple as we said the other day that then we're going to have on Omer Beis, that for example, if they're very far apart in age, then we discourage them from doing Yibum because it's not likely to be a happy marriage. But it could also be, as we're going to have examples in the Gemara over here, that he was marrying her only for her money, or whatever the case. The point is, it wasn't somebody that she wanted to be married to. So they told him, give her chalitza on condition that she'll give you 200 zuz. The case was brought to Rav Chiya. If she doesn't give him the 200 zuz, what happens? And he says she's kosher, and she's free to marry anybody she wants because the chalitza has been accomplished. So that's chalitza mutas. So the Gemara continues. Now, it once happened that a person came, that a Yavam came, that a couple came to Rav Chiya Ba'aba. Rav Chiya Ba'aba, by the way, is different than regular Rav Chiya. This is a couple of generations later. Rav Chiya Plain is a Talmud of Rebbe, and Rav Chiya Ba'aba is a Talmud of Rav Yechon. Anyway, so the Yavama came to Beis Din. Omer Lo, so Rav Chiya Ba'aba tells her, Biti, Amoidi, my daughter, stand up. In other words, come stand. So Rashi gives two explanations. Well, Rashi's first explanation is stand up and do yibum. So according to that first explanation, amoidi doesn't literally mean to stand up. It just means go ahead and do yibum. What's the problem? Omrele ima. So her mother, the Yavama's mother, says to the Chiva Abba, Yeshivasa zuhi amidasa. Her sitting is standing for her, meaning the best thing for her would be to sit and avoid Yibum. If you're telling me that standing means go do Yibum, then this Yivama, it would actually, she'd actually be better off if she doesn't marry this guy. So he says, so Rabbi Abba says to the mother, you know this guy, do you understand, do you know there's something wrong with him? Why are you saying that your daughter would be better off without him? So the mother says, Ain, Mamona hu dechazala. Yeah, what happened is this Yavam saw that my daughter has money, the kaboyl, the pashtas that she inherited from the first marriage, but whatever. The kaboyl meifamina. He just wants to consume that money. You know, he basically just wants to give him, he wants to marry her for her money. So he says, so now he turns to the Yavama and says, Loin dechalach. Is that your mother is speaking on your behalf? Okay, but what about you? Do you in fact not want to marry this guy? And the Yavama says, no, in fact, I don't. So now he turns to the Yavam and says, do chalitza, and with that you'll marry. So the kind of thing that we said before, that Rish Lakish had said, that you can do to mislead him into chalitza. Now all that was Rashi's first explanation, that amoidi, biti amoidi, doesn't mean literally stand up, it just means go ahead and do yibum, and then when they explain to him that we don't want to do yibum, we know that this guy is not an erlacha guy, he only wants to do yibum for the money, then Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba says and figures to himself, okay, in that case we need to mislead the yavam into doing yibum. Rashi's second explanation is that amoidi literally means to stand up. It means stand up on your 2 feet because we're going to be doing a din Torah over here. Actually, from Rashi doesn't say out clearly, but the Tosfos teaches out more that it means that he's saying stand up and doing chalitza because chalitza is supposed to stand for chalitza. And the mother, according to that, the mother answers her, her sitting is her standing. In other words, she can't stand. She's sick, or she's amputee, or she's an amputee. So now Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba says, okay, in that case, then Yodala, do you know that Yavam wants to, in fact, do Yivum? You tell me, does he want to or not? And she says, yeah, he wants to for the money. So Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba says, okay, given that you want Chalitza then, and we don't want this guy just marrying you for your money, then okay, let's go and arrange the Chalitza. So he tells him chalitza kachat pensa. Levaster the chalitza. Now after the guy went and did chalitza, Omalei, so Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba tells him, hashta minoch ifsalala. Now let's consider. So he tells him, actually the truth is that wasn't true. When you do chalitza, then now you're also to marry. However, now it's a posala chalitza. So we said before chalitza psula, and a chalitza psula means she's not yet mutter to marry out, but now she's posala to that yavam. And to the other brothers. Therefore, chalitz for chalitza malyasa. So now he tells him, go do a proper chalitza for her. Ki hechid tishri la'alma. This way she'll be mutter to everybody else. In other words, at this point, it's basically midas doin. It's basically kufin al midas doin. Hey, Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba is telling him, at this point, you have nothing more to gain by not doing chalitza. Because anyway, she can't marry you anymore. The only thing is you not doing a proper chalitza is preventing her from marrying out. So at that point, kofin al midas doin, and you need to go and give her chalitza.
And the beis din didn't force him.
So now the question of beis din forcing a person to do chalitza is an interesting one. So we're gonna see in the Gemara over here further down the Amud, we're gonna talk about it a little bit. And you have just like you have the case of get ma'usa, where a husband sometimes can be forced to give his wife a get. Sometimes you do have chalitza ma'usa. So one such example is this. And Shulchan Aruch talks about a couple of different possibilities when you force him. On the other hand, that Amos says in general we're not noyig to force a yavam to give chalitza. What we'll do is we'll use various tricks, like we're saying over here, chalitza b'kachat ha'kainza, or ultimate chalitza amunas shetitim l'machamasayim zuz. But to actually force it is not so glatt in halacha, and therefore that Amos says we try to avoid that whenever possible.
By misleading him, you're taking a big risk that in revenge he's going to make her an aguna. And how is that acceptable?
That's what we're saying. At this point, we can be koi for him. At this point, it's koi for him. We tell him, you have nothing more to gain by not doing chalitza. So now, at this point, we can force him. Now, so that's the thing. So instead of doing that...
He has to gain. He wants to take revenge.
If he wants to take revenge, tough luck. Beis din will have, as long as Beis din has the upper hand, then they'll have kofinos, actually, and a road sign. Yes, we're going to talk about soon. So, yeah. So, uh, So yeah, there is in fact a distinction drawn in Shulchan Aruch about when we can force him. One of the distinctions is in fact, so first of all, one of the distinctions is whether Api Alocha, there's a reason to prevent them from doing Yibum, which nowadays, in general, that's the case, because after all, we say that that mitzvah chalitza kedemus. But in any case, an example like this, where already a chalitza psula is done, is another example where, again, we say that we can be koifa, because after all, at this point, the chalitza psula has already been done. Okay. So the Gemara gives another example. So it's possible because he didn't have kavana for chalitza as it's supposed to be. He thought that the chalitza is a form of marriage. So therefore, it's chalitza psula, but nevertheless, at this point, we force him to do chalitza kshela. The Gemara continues, Bas chamur jera papa nafla lifnei yavam she'en hagurba. The daughter of the father-in-law of Rapapa, so this is Rapapa's sister-in-law, was up for yibum to a yavam that was not hagurba, where again, a yavam where she doesn't want to marry him. He's not an erlecha guy. Also lechamei da abaya, so the case came to abaya, so omalei chaloitzlo v'kachat v'kansa, again, abaya is going to try the same method as well, to trick him, telling him, do chalitza, and with that you'll marry her. Omele Rapapa, but Rapapa said, Rapapa, who was a Talmud of Abaya, says, Lo Savala Marla Hoda Omer Rabbi Yechanan, don't you hold of what Rabbi Yechanan says, that it's only going to be a Chalitza Psula. Now it's true, you could do the method, like we said, Rabbi Chiba Abba did, where after the Chalitza Psula, then you force him to do the Chalitza Kshera. But after all, you know, sort of like you said, Avraham Moshe, it could backfire. Fine, Basin can force him. What if the guy, let's say, runs away before we do it? Then shouldn't we want to try to do the chalitza in the first place? That would be kosher and not have to make it happen twice. So Ella, so Abaya says, but Ella heche emala. So what should I do? Amalei. So he tells him chalitza. I'm an asher tippin lamasayim luchamasayim zuz. So to use the 200 zuz trick. That he said, even Rabbi Yochanan says that's not a problem because he does have a kavanah for chalitza. He just thinks there's a tnai involved, but again, tnai is ineffective by chalitza, as we said before. So therefore, no problem. So the chalitza will in fact be valid, and she doesn't have to. So 1 second, levosa the chalitza. After the guy did chalitza, omalah. So now Abaya says to the Yavama, zil havla, go give him the 200 zuz. Omalei, but your papa again. Asks Abaya, why should that be necessary? Why can't she say in this regard, Meshata Anibach? I was kidding you. In other words, I didn't sincerely take on a responsibility to give 200 zuz. Meshata Anibach Avalei. Can't she say that this was Meshata Anibach? That this is so now, in other words, so it's like this. Rashi explains, Abaya knew, of course, that the chalitza is kosher even without the 200 zuz. But Abaya took the view the same way as anytime you hire a person for a job, you tell a person, I want you to do such and such, and I'll pay you. So afterwards, you have a chiyuv to pay him. So therefore, Abaya is saying that, the chalitza will still be kosher even if she doesn't. Fine, but she hired him, doesn't she need to pay him? But Rapapa is saying that even as far as the dinim of dinim mominus, she shouldn't have to, because he's required to do it. So therefore, since he's trying to charge, he's trying to overcharge for it. So we can say, and it was shat dani b'cha, that she can say, I was only joking and I didn't actually sincerely take on such a commitment. After all, Rapapa continues, mi loy tanya, haven't we learned in a braisa or something similar? Suppose a person was running away from jail, so he has to get out of there as fast as possible. In front of him, he has to cross a river, and there's a ferry there. And he says to the ferryman, take a dinner, which a dinner in this connection means, can mean a gold dinner, which is a huge amount of money, and take me across. So now, the other person is, later on, the other person cannot demand the whole dinner, just the customary fee for taking him across the river. So in other words, because the usual fare would be far less than a dinner, here the guy is in a panic, so he's saying, I'll give you even a dinner. In other words, because the ferryman is likely to say to himself, why should I bother taking out my ferry just for you? I'll wait till I have other passengers. So meanwhile, you promise him a gold dinner, and that way he takes you across faster. So Alma Omalei Meshat Dani B'cha. So we see in a case like this, given that the normal fare is much less than that, then he can say Meshat Dani B'cha. which Tosfos draws a distinction whether we're talking about, so here you have, you know, the ferryman usually runs the ferry. He just usually charges a small amount, and in this case, he promised him a large amount. But on the other hand, when you have a dove or gadol, when you're telling somebody to do a big thing, then you can't say Meshat Dani B'chol. But in this case, the point is, the chalitza is certainly not something that he should be charging 200 zuz for. So therefore, can he say Meshat Dani? So can't the Yavama say Meshat Dani B'chol? Why should she be required to pay the whole 200? So Hachanami Meshat Dani B'chol. What? So 1 second. Alma Omele Meshat Dani B'chol. Hachanami Meshat Dani B'chol. So she should not have to, maybe she should have to pay something, but certainly not 200 zuz. So Rav Abaya says to Rav Papa, with a little bit of admiration, where is your father? In other words, he says, the fact that you're very sharp, you come up with the right answer right away, you must have parents who support you, so that way you're able to learn Torah without interruption. So where's your father? Amalei B'masa. So Rav Papa says he lives in town. Imcha Hecha, where's your mother? Amalei B'masa. Yohi Bahu Enel. Now Abaya put his eyes on them. In other words, he put an ayin hara on them. Now, not he didn't mean to. Rav Yaakov Emden points out in his notes on the Gemara over here, we're not going to say, obviously, Abaya is not doing anything deliberately against them, but Abaya had a shtickle bit of jealousy against them because Abaya himself didn't have that source. We know from the Gemara and Kedushin that his parents passed away before he was born, his mother when he was born, so he never knew his parents. So now he hears from a papa that he still has both living parents. So he inadvertently gave them an ayin hara ushchivan and they passed away. So now in fact, Abaya didn't mean to do anything against them, but nevertheless, the fact is it caused Abaya to feel bad. And when such things happen, especially when a tzaddik feels bad, then it can cause unfortunate effects like that. In fact, actually, the Shari Ephraim, which is a sefer on the halachas of Kriyas HaTorah and other related things, points out an interesting thing in that regard. We know by Yizkor, we send out everybody who has both parents living. Now, why is that? One reason is, in fact, because of an ayin hara, we don't want that the people who are actually saying Yizkor are going to be thinking about, hey, look at that guy, he's so lucky, he still has his parents, and then we can have unfortunate consequences like here with Abaya, therefore we send them out. Now, in this case, Rapapa's parents weren't there in the room anyway, but it's fine. Abaya is also a great tzaddik, so his ayin hara has a greater effect. But still, the point is, we send out the people. That's one reason why we send them out during Yizkor. We're all tzaddikim, fine, but obviously there's different levels of tzaddik. But yeah. So the point is, in other words, that Abaya, to a certain extent, was jealous of that Rav Papa had, that up until now, he's able to learn Torah so clearly. Now, in fact, what may have happened because of this also is, I mean, after all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loy ovid dina v'loy dina, Hashem doesn't judge unjustly, chas v'shalom. So we have to say, mistama that adrab, Rav Papa's parents, by rights, maybe should have passed away a long time ago, but they had arichas yomim in the schus that they're supporting their son, Rav Papa, in learning Torah, and now as a result of Abaya's inadvertent ayin hara, then they decided, you know what, they were supposed to have gone a long time ago anyway. And of course, now the Papa himself has this chus that now he's learning Torah in conditions of difficulty, which is itself a tremendous thing. The Papa himself was pretty rich, but whether he was at the time, we don't know. The Pashas, it sounds from the Gemara, like over here, that up till now his parents were supporting him.
The heavy one from
Baba. No, that's from Papa Baba. That's Papa Baba, was heavy set, yeah. Anyway, so that's the story. The point
about the beer.
And that was Rapapa, it was a brewer, yeah. So actually, in fact, one point is that to a certain extent, Rapapa acted the Dakos wrongly over here, because twice he's correcting Abaya. Now, of course, okay, you know, he's a Talmud, he's correcting his Rebbe respectfully, but still, in particular, maybe he should have mentioned both points at the beginning. He should have said, you know what, based on what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, based on what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, tell him Amunas Shetitim L'Masayim Zuz, and let's be clear that she won't have to give it to him because Meshat Dani B'chol. In effect, in fact, your papa is waiting until after Abaya said the second thing before he points out, you know what, can't you say Meshat Dani B'chol? So like it caused Abaya, his Rebbe, a tiny bit of embarrassment, and therefore your papa, being the great tzaddik and Talmid Chacham that he was, and he was judged more strictly for it. Okay, the Gemara goes on. Turn it up on him. We learn in a Braisa. Chalitza mutas sheda, get muta posel. Now, when it comes to chalitza, if the person is misled into doing it, then it's kosher. Like we said, if they tell him, amunas shetitim zuz, then it's still kosher. Whether you have to pay the 200 is going to depend on other issues of dini mamas, like we said. On the other hand, get muta posel, if you did the same kind of thing with a get. If you say, to get a monastery, tit mocham masayim zuz, and she doesn't give them masayim zuz, then the get is going to be possible, because a get can be done through a shliach, therefore tanai is effective in it. Because again, we learn both things from b'nei God or b'nei Reuven. Chalitza mu'usas psula, get mu'usa kosher. Then furthermore, on the other hand, a chalitza that's forced is possible, but a get that's forced is kosher. So the Gemara asks, hey, hidami, what's the scenario? If based in forces him and ultimately says, Roitzani, I'm willing to do the chalitza, after the chalitza nami, then the chalitza should be kosher as well. By a get, we know that it is, there's the famous Rambamanet that a yid deep down wants to do what the Eivishter wants, that I've quoted it innumerable times, and therefore when he says Roitzani, that means that's his true rotzen, so then the same thing should apply to chalitza. The Eloi Amar Roitzani after the get nami, and if he doesn't say Roitzani, then it shouldn't be affected by a get either. So what's the scenario that we're saying where it would be kosher by a get, but the parallel scenario with Chalitza would be possible? The answer is Hachikama. What we mean is like this. Chalitza mutas la'olam kosher. Where it was a misled chalitza, then it's always good. In other words, if we said the Amunastra Tit Mahama Sayim Zuz, then it doesn't matter whether she paid the 200 or not. Either way, it's always going to be kosher. The get muta la'olam posel. On the other hand, a get in those circumstances is always going to be posel. Because if t'nai is effective with a get, no t'nai, no get. Now, on the other hand, when the braisa is saying chalitza mu'usas psula, get mu'usa kosher, it doesn't mean that it's always the case. It means chalitza mu'usas, get mu'usa, zimnin kosher, the zimnin posel. Sometimes they'll be kosher, sometimes they'll be posel, and what it is hodo amar roitzani, hodo amar roitzani. The difference will be ultimately whether he says roitzani or not. So ultimately, then it comes out that the case is when forcing is valid for chalitza are the same as for get. So at the end of Gittin, we'll get to it in a year and a half, as Hashem or so, then the Gemara talks about what exactly are the circumstances that you need for get ma'usa to be kosher. It depends whether there's a Jewish based in involved, whether there's a Goyish court, Mahabdo involved, whether he's required to divorce, whether it's not, etc. So you have dinim about it in Shulchan Aruch. So then when it comes to Hilchos Yibum b'chalitza, so it's summarized in Shulchan Aruch, the dinim of chalitza ma'usa are the same as the dinim of get ma'usa, so refer back to that simon for the details. And then, like I said, the Ramah says in an earlier simon that nowadays we're not generally knowing to force chalitza. We just try to convince the person or trick him in various ways.
So we can trick someone.
So we can trick someone for chalitza, but not forget, right?
For a get, you can only force him
when it's necessary, when it's appropriate. Not the Allah, right? So the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Yakri Voise, when it says about Korbanos, that he should offer it, Malamach Koyfinoise, the word Yakri implies he has to bring the Korban, whether he likes it or not. So that means they force him. Yochel Baal Korfei, so you would think that means you have to make him bring the Korban even against his will. No, Tamad Loi Melot Sonia, the next word in the Pasuk is with his will. So okay, so what does it mean? Yakri implies that you force him, Melot Sonia implies that he is agreeable to, means Koyfinoise, actually Merot Sani. We force him, based on forces him, until he says, Roitzani, and then you can apply what the Rambam says, that deep down, that represents what he actually, what his Yetzer Tov, which is the essence of a Yid, actually wants. The same thing applies to Gittin of women, Kofin, etc. Roitzani. So now we're saying that the same thing applies to Chalitza as well. Okay, another din. Omer Rava, Omer of Shchoira, Omer of Vuna, Chiltzin Afapisha in Makir. You can do Chalitza, even Beistin can supervise the chalitza, even if they don't know the people. So two people come in front of us to do chalitza. We don't know for a fact that they are Yavam and Yavama. They could just be two people play acting. Nevertheless, we can still Beistin still arranges the chalitza. One second. Well, what would they gain from it? One possibility is, imagine, for example, that the Yavama wants to get remarried, but her Yavam is not agreeable to do chalitza. So she may hire somebody else to play the part of the Yavam. So Rava is quoting over here from Rav Huna that's fine, you can do that. Wait. And similarly, he says, Mimayin and Afkishen Makirin. The same thing when it comes to Miyun, which we're going to talk about in the next parak, where a girl below Bas Mitzvah was married off by her mother or brothers or whoever, where the marriage is only valid Drabanan, and therefore she can at any point do Miyun. She can go and say, I don't want to be in this marriage anymore, and the marriage is dissolved. So also, you can arrange the Miyun, even Afkishen Makirin, even though they don't recognize that they are in fact husband and wife. Lefichach, therefore, continues Rav Huna, Ein koisvin get chalitza elim kein makirin. Now, when it comes to after the chalitza is done, you have to write out a get chalitza. She needs a proof. She needs a piece of paper that she'll be able to show people, look, I had chalitza. So now that they can write only if they recognize that they are in fact Yavam and Yavama. So now the Edim are going to write out this get chalitza, so they can't give it to her unless they know that they are Yavam and Yavama. So now, the point is that now there's no problem, because after all, without a get chalitza, nobody's going to be willing to marry her, because they're going to know that she was Yavama, and they're going to figure that they're being over on the issue of Yavama Lashuk. So since the Edim can't write get chalitza unless they know that these two are Yavama and Yavama, so no problem. Even if Beis Din does the chalitza, and it ends up that it wasn't actually a Yavama and Yavama, there won't result any problems from that. And similarly,
they don't write up those people.
Yeah, so those Edim, right. But in Koisvin, get Neon, Elen Ken Makirin. We also, similarly, we won't write a get Neon for the same thing. The girl is going to need a get Neon to show that Neon was accomplished. By the way, a get Chalitza and get Neon are not a true get. They're not written, they don't have the halachas of a get, for example, they have to be written Lashma and so forth. They don't use the same Lashonis as a get, but they're just basically what's called Maisa Beis Din. They're a record of what was accomplished in Beis Din, that such and such was done, so now she has a proof.
Yeah,
so Makirin would mean that they have to know. No, not ID. It means that the Edim recognize, it means that the Edim live in town here and they know who these people are. So similarly, the Enkosin, get Neon, LMK Makirin, the point is, the Chashinim of Beis Din choice. The point of all that is we're concerned that the Beis Din might make a mistake, meaning a second Beis Din. What would happen if Edim write out saying that we saw that she did chalitza? So even if they don't now if they write in the get now the get chalitza usually includes a loshen which we quoted earlier in the Masechta that says that we recognize that these people are Yavam and Yavama. Now what happens though, like this, if they were to write out a get chalitza and they don't have that clause in it, we're concerned that a second Beis Din will not pay attention to that detail, and they're going to say, okay, you have a get chalitza, go ahead and get remarried, and they're not going to chapsa that there's a part missing that should have been in there that we recognize him. Therefore, we don't want a get chalitza to be written in the first place. So in other words, the supposed Yavam and Yavama come in front of Beis Din. We're saying Beis Din arranges the chalitza, regardless whether they recognize him or not. Afterwards, though, we don't want the Edim to just write out and say chalitza was done on such and such a date in front of such and such a Beis Din, because they're not saying the clause in there that we recognize him, but a second Beis Din might ignore that, might not pay attention to that, and then allow her to remarry. Therefore, we don't want the Edim to write such a get chalitza in the first place. Now, that was Rava quoting in the name of Rav Huna. Rava Dideyom, and now Rava himself holds differently. He says, on the contrary, in Chotz and Elim Ken Makirin, the in Maman and Elim Ken Makirin. On the contrary, they can only arrange the Chalitza or the Miun only if they recognize, only if Beis Din recognizes the parties that they are Yavam and Yavama, or that they are Tana and her husband. Therefore, on the contrary, you allow the Edim can write out the get chalitza even if they don't recognize these people. We're not concerned that the Beis Din, that first Beis Din we mean over here, will have made a mistake and mistakenly done the chalitza without recognizing these people. So therefore, it's fine. Even if the get chalitza does not include the statement, the ishmoidanuhu, that we recognize the guy, that's fine, because we can rely on that the first Beis Din will not have arranged the chalitza, says Rava, unless they know that this was a Yavam and Yavam. Now, that's Rashi's explanation. Tosfos has a problem with that explanation, because it comes out that Beis Din Toyin in the two different opinions has two different meanings. In the first opinion of Rava in the name of Rav Schora in the name of Rav Huna, then Beis Din Toyin would mean that a future Beis Din who sees this get chalitza might mistakenly think that a valid chalitza was done. In the second one, in Rava's own statement, you're saying it means the first Beis Din. So we're being inconsistent. So Tosfos instead brings from a girsa from older manuscripts of the Gemara that in Rav Schoira's din says we're not choshish, and in Rava's din saying we're choshish. So therefore, we mean in both cases we're talking about the later Beis Din. So in Rav Schoira's din, we're saying that we're not concerned that a later Beis Din is going to look at this get chalitza and allow her. Because we're not concerned that the Edim are going to write a get chalitza without recognizing them. What will happen is if they've based and see this get chalitza, they're going to call in the original Edim and say, well, did you in fact know that this was a government Yavama, or did you stand right? So therefore it'll be clarified as opposed to, and now Rava is saying, Ein Chotz and Elim Kin Makirin, because a later based in might mistakenly think that if Edom saw it, and they probably knew what they were doing, and therefore it would be good, and we don't want that. So according to the Girsa that Tosfos is bringing, it comes out that in both cases we're concerned not what the first Beis Din might do mistakenly, but what a later Beis Din might do mistakenly. Okay. Mishnah says, Mitzvah Chalitza. How is the actual Mitzvah of Chalitza accomplished? Bahu v'yivintin the Beis Din. The first thing is that the Yavam and the Yavama come to Beis Din. V'heim masim lo etzah ha'igenes lo. They give him advice that's suitable for him. As we learned earlier in the Perek, for example, if they're very far apart in age, then Beis Din advises them, don't do Yivam, it's not going to be a happy marriage. Shenema, v'kodol lo zikne iroi, v'dibroi lo. As the Pasuk says, the zkenim of a city should call him and speak to them. Now, if they're going to go ahead with the chalitza, v'hiyay meres meyem yuvami lahokim la'achim shem yisrael loy over yavmi, she says the words of the pasuk, my yavam does not want to uphold his brother's name among the Jewish people. He does not want to do yivam with me. V'hu ayma loy chafatzi l'kachta, and the yavam says, I don't want to marry her. Over lashon ha'kodesh, ha'yomim, they have to say these words in lashon kodesh. The Mishnah in Sota explains that there are certain things that you can say in any Lashon. There are a bunch of things. For example, Krishma you can say in any Lashon. Shemana Esrei and other parts of Davening you can say in any Lashon that you understand, etc. But then there are certain things when the Torah says to say such and such. And at the end, you have to say it in Lashon Kodesh. And the Gemara explains over there, we learned by Zera Shava how we know which ones have to be in Lashon Kodesh. And this is one of them. So you have to understand what it means, the Pashtus. I mean, so what actually happens is that we're going to say in the continuation of the Mishnah that the Beis Din reads off for them word by word, and they repeat after the Beis Din, because not everybody knows Lashon Kodesh, after all. There was a video clip going around recently from, you remember maybe that Rabbi Gurami from Iran was here a few months ago. So there was a clip going around of a chalitza that he and his Beis Din supervised in Tehran, where you can hear them reading, you can hear them reading off word by word, and then the Yavam and the Yavama are saying the respective words after them. And I can send it later on the group, if I find it. So they have to say it in Lashon Kodesh. Yeah, the Pashtus, they have to understand it. So Beis Din would tell them in advance what they're going to be saying. Now, the Mishnah continues, quoting the Pasuk, the Nigsha Yavimta Elav La'ine Askenim, that the Yavama then goes over to him in the sight of the Skenim, which we learned earlier in the Perek means that they can't be blind, it means that they have to have the qualifications of Dayanim. The Chotzim Nala Me'aragla, then she takes the shoe off the Yavam's foot, the Yoke Befanav, and it says she spits, literally Befanav means in his face. But it doesn't mean that she actually spits at his face. It means Roy Kanir of the Dayanim, means the spit has to be visible to the Dayanim. As we're going to say further down on the Amud, what it actually means really is the Dayanim have to actually see the spit coming out of her mouth. Not just that they see it lying on the ground in front of them, she has to actually see it emerging from her mouth. Then the psukim continue. The Mishnah is quoting the answer of Amra. Then she speaks up and says, "This is what should be done to a man who doesn't want to rebuild his brother's house." So the Mishnah says, "Ad kan hoyu makrim." Originally, that was as far as they went. Originally, that was how as far as Beis Din would have her say the words. But it happened once that there was a chalitza that was super. Revised by Reb Hurkanus, the Pashtus, this is Reb Hurkanus, the son of Reb Eliezer ben Hurkanus, but maybe, maybe not. Anyway, when he did that, Tachas Eva b'Kfar Etam, underneath an oak tree in Kfar Etam, and Rashi adds that there were Talmidim sitting over there as well. And he's, and the Gomer is called a parasha, he continued having the Yavama say the words until the end of the parasha, meaning the following words, V'nikra Shmoy B'Yisrael, Beis Chalutz HaNoal, so then, Huchzik will be a Skoimin, called a parasha, so then they made a Chazaka, from then on, the Bati Dinim adopted that practice, and they started having who say the words, Kocha Ya'osul Ish, Asher Lo Yivnes, Beis Ochim, V'nikra Shmoy B'Yisrael, Beis Chalutz HaNoal, they would have who say all of that. And that's how we do. So when the pasuk continues, the nikra shmei b'Yisrael based chalutz anal mitzvah, the dayanim v'lo mitzvah tamidim. That means the mitzvah is for the dayanim to say the word, to say those words chalutz anal, not for the tamidim. So you have tamidim who are sitting over there and observing. And we said the other day that in Shulchan Aruch it says you should have at least five people there. So that between the five of the Beis Din and the five who are there, you have a minion to give a faus in it. They don't have to. The Tanakhama says they don't have to say anything. Rabbi Yehuda, I have a mitzvah, kol ha'inim sham, lo mechalutz ha'no'al. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the mitzvah is, the proper way is, that everybody who's standing there should say the words chalutz ha'no'al. Which we'll say at the end of the, at the end of the parak, then in fact, Rabbi Yehuda brings an example where that was done, and that's the halacha. It is, that's how it should be done. And we learned previously that if the kriya was not done, it's not ma'akiv, but nevertheless, that's the proper way of doing the mitzvah. So the Gemara says, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, mitzvah chalitza, kora, the procedure is, let's summarize, she says words, she says, he says the words, she does the chalitza, she does the spinning, then she says the words, kocha yosef. So the Gemara asks, my kamash malon mas bithini. Well, what is Rabbi Yehuda informing us? That's exactly what the Mishnah says. The answer is, hokamash malon mitzvah hok. The point of Rabbi Yehuda's statement is, the proper mitzvah is to do it that way. The i'apich less one bar, but mitzvah always implies, generally in the Gemara, mitzvah implies this is the right way to do things, but if it was done in a different order, then it doesn't matter. Now, by the way, the Mishnah also started out with the word mitzvah chalitza, but the Aruch HaNeh explains without Rabbi Yehuda telling us, we would have thought it means that we're talking about mitzvah chalitza is the first part of it. When they call him in and give an eitzah ha'igenes, that's the ideal way to do the mitzvah. But it would be kosher even without that consultation. But the actual chalitza itself, from the Mishnah, maybe you would infer that it means that the Seder is ma'akiv. So Rabbi Yehuda is telling us that no, the whole thing, everything described in our Mishnah is not ma'akiv. We learn similarly in Braisa, Bein Shehikdim Chalitza Burukika, Uvein Shehikdim Rukika La Chalitza, whether the Chalitza was done first or the spitting was done first, Masha Osa Osui, what's done is done, it's a kosher Chalitza. And as we learned yesterday or 2 days ago, in fact, the Gemara says you shouldn't have her spit again because we definitely want people to realize that even the spitting already has consequences. It passes over for Yibum, and if we make her spit again, then people are going to think that the first spitting was of no consequence. When the Dayanim are reading off the words of the Chalitza. Now, get Chalitza does not mean over here exactly what it meant on Umar Aleph, where it means the actual document that they give her afterwards or as proof that she had Chalitza. We mean just the order of the Chalitza. The Pashtus, we call it get Chalitza because the words themselves afterwards are written in the get Chalitza. But anyway, so here the Dayanim are reading off word by word and the Yavam and the Yavama are following it. Now, what they should not do, says Abaya, they should not say the word loy, and she says loy, and then continue ova yabni, and she'll say that. Dimashma ova yabni, because what is loy ova yabni means he does not want to do yibum. But if you break that up, then it sounds like you're saying, she's saying loy, no, as a matter of fact, ova yabni, he does want to do yibum with me. And that would be misleading. So therefore, you have to make sure that she says loy over yabni altogether. Ella loy over yabni, so she has to say loy over yabni altogether. Says Abai. And similarly, the loy liquidly day loy lachude chafasti lachude. Similarly, we have the Yavam says the words loy chafasti lachta. By the same token, don't break up the words loy and chafasti for the same reason. Loy chafasti lachta means I do not want to marry her. If you break it up, then it sounds like loy, no, chafatzi lakachta, I do want to marry her. So therefore, don't do that. Demashma chafatzi lakachta, then it would mistakenly sound like it means chafatzi lakachta. Ella loy chafatzi lakachta, rather, says Abaya, make sure that they say all three words together. Rava Omar, on the other hand, Rava says that's not a problem. Afsuki milsi, it's just a break in the sentence. But afsuki milsa less one ba, and there's no problem with breaking up in the middle of the sentence as long as the whole sentence is said. A number of Rishonim have the Gusa, and it's brought on the side of here in the Sosa Shas and Agosa Bachwins, that that various Rishonim have the Gusa, not Afsuki, which means to interrupt, but Afsuki, which means to complete. In other words, it still amounts to the same point. In other words, since you are completing the sentence, you are saying the whole, all the words, Loi Ova Yab, and Loi Chapas Lakafta, so even if there's a break in the middle, then Rava says that's not a problem. So the Gemara continues, Rav Ashi asked to say that Rav Kahana becomes a star in Machmila Loi Ova Yab. Rav Ashi one time found Rav Kahana was supervising a Chalitza, and Rav Kahana was trying to get the Yavama to say the words Loy of a Yabni altogether, and he was having a hard time with it. He'd tell her to say the words, and she wasn't getting it. And Rav Kahana is going to a lot of trouble trying to get her to say the three words together. Amalei, sort of Ashi says, why do you need that? Loy Sovalei Meir Lahod the Rava. Don't you agree with what Rava said that if Sasuki Milsa or Asuki Milsa, then there's no problem. So what if she says Loy separately and Ova separately and so forth? Amalei, so he tells him, murder Rava Loy of a Yabni. Actually, Rava would agree on the words loy ova yabni, that those do have to be said together. Maybe not all three words, but at least the words loy ova have to be said together. So now Rashi explains, because like this, before that, the Yavama is saying something. The Yavama first comes and says, mein Yavami lahokim la'achiv shem b'Yisrael. She's saying that he doesn't want to do Yibum. So now, the loy, if you say the loy separately from Ova, then it sounds like the loy is referring back to that. She says, my brother-in-law doesn't want to do Yibum. He doesn't want to establish his brother's name. And then, like, she catches herself, loy, no, you know what, actually, Ova Yabni does want to. So therefore, that would be very misleading. As opposed to, when the Yavam says, loy chafak to the kachta, there's nothing that he had to say before that. Therefore, there's nothing for the loy to refer back to that we would say that maybe it means like he's retracting what he said before. So therefore, so Rava would agree when it comes to the Yavama that you do have to say the words loy ova together. Tosfos mentions over here that there were an interesting point from the Masoda. There are three places in Tanakh where you have this expression loy ova. You have this, loy ova yabni, you have another one from Parashas Ekev, loy ova Hashem Ashkesecha, and you have in Tilim, in Shir Shal Yom of Thursday, the Yisrael loy ova. Then Tosfos goes on to discuss that you also have a couple of times when it says vil loy ova. And the Maharshal and Maharshal discuss what the relevance of all this is. The Maharshal makes the point that some of these loy ovas and vil loy ovas have a makaf between them. So therefore, the ones that have a makaf between them, then those have to be. A makaf is a little horizontal line you often have in Chumash and in Tanakh. No, not a vertical line, but a horizontal line that connects two words together. For example, you have the word S something. You usually have a line after the word S connecting it to the next word. It means they share the same truck, and it means that it means to a certain extent they're connected in meaning. So, yeah, you take, for example, here, you're opening to a random page over here. Let's say, for example, over here, by Yichar Af. It's considered for purposes of truck as if it was one word. Or the same Af Hashem. El Echov, B'nei Yisrael, etc.
I never noticed.
So which ones have a makaf and which ones don't is a Masoda, right? So the Maharshal talks about that the distinction can be that Tosfos is hinting at a distinction whether they have a makaf or whether they actually have separate tura. Here, by the words loy ova yabni, there's no makaf. They actually have separate tura, a mercha and a tipa. Therefore, you have to be careful to say them together. If they had a makaf, then maybe it wouldn't be so necessary. The Maharshal says a different point. If the Pasuk had said, V'loy ova yabni, then it wouldn't be an issue, because the V'loy would make it clear that it's not retracting what she said before. It would be, he doesn't want to do Yibum. He doesn't want to uphold his brother's name. And he doesn't want to do Yibum. There's no way that you can misunderstand the V'loy as changing her mind. But because the Pasuk says Loy, then therefore that opens up the possibility of misinterpreting her words and saying that, no, you know what, I realized that I was wrong. Ova Yabni. And therefore we have to be careful for her to be able to say the words Loy Ova together.
Before they printed the Chumashim,
before they printed the Chumashim, it was still in Kisveyad, in manuscripts they would have, yeah. I mean, obviously in a Sefer Torah, you don't have that, but it's part of the Masorah, same as the Likudis and everything else. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Hagoyis Hagro also... Yeah, they have. You have manuscripts of Tanakh from olden days. Yeah, I mean not that old, but yeah, you have, for example, the famous Keser Aram Tzoiva. Parts of it are destroyed, but parts of it are still intact. It has that. There are other Stav Yad Leningrad. Yeah, there's different manuscripts from about 1,000 years ago or less that have that. Yeah. Anyway, Hagoyis HaGra brings over here. We need to finish up over here, so let's go. Hagoyis HaGra points out that there are Rishonim who have the Girus over here. That it's another one. That it's another example of what we said the other day in the Gemara. Kol Aroi Labila. That it has to at least be that she's capable of saying the words Loy Ova Yabni together. Then, if she actually says the words Loy and Ova separately, then it's not so bad. But if she's incapable of even saying the two words together, then that's when you're going to have a problem. Okay, the Gemara goes on. When you're writing a get chalitza, and again, a get chalitza is not a real get, it's just a proof that she had chalitza, but we're writing what happened in Beis Din. It's like a record, it's like a report of what happened in Beis Din. Lichtiv hachi, so you should write as follows. We made her read the words, min mayan yavami ad ova yavni, min loy ad lakachta, min kochav ad chalitza now. So in other words, Abaya is saying, don't quote the psukim in full in the Get Chalitza. Just say the first and last words of each posuk or each claw, each section of posuk that they said, because the Get Chalitza is not written with sirtut. You have to score lines on parchment, like in a Sefer Torah, before you write Divrei Torah on them. And here you're not. So therefore, you can't be writing three words of the posuk together. So therefore, so you write like that. We had her read the words from Me and Yavami, which is only two words, until Ova Yavni, which is two words. We had him go from Loi until Lakachta, which is one word each, and for her from Kochan to Halutana. On the other hand, Marzutra misouted for cost of the Kola Parsha. From Kola Parsha, Rav Zutra would actually do Sirtuk on the parchment, and he would write out the whole parsha. So the Gemara says, Max for Marba Idi, but Marba Idi asks, how could you do that? For Hola Nitam Likosev, there's a general rule that you're not allowed to write out individual parashiyos of the Torah by themselves. So how could Marzutra be doing that? However, the Gemara says, nevertheless, for Hilchus HaKavaseid Marzutra, nevertheless, the halacha is like Marzutra. So Rashi says, because when we say you can't write out, individual psukim or individual sections of the Torah, that's when you're making it almost like it was going to be a miniature Sefer Torah, like you're making it for a kid to be able to learn. So you're treating it almost as a Megillah Ketana. Here you're not. Here you're just doing Sfiras Zvorim Ba'alma. You're just telling over what happened in Beis Din. So therefore, that's not considered to have that level of Kedusha. So therefore, and here it's Mokum Mitzvah because she needs a proof that she had Chalitza. Therefore, we're allowed to do that. So that's how you do it. So, and then I'm not passing that halacha. When you're writing a get chalitza, this is how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. You're writing out a get chalitza, you write out the psukim, but you do sirtut on the area where you're going to write the psukim. Okay. Another din. Amar Abaya, rokoko potatu haruach. If she spit and the wind grabbed the spit and then blew it away, so it never came in front of the yavam, loy osav loy klum, what she did doesn't count for anything. Now, we said before, the spitting is not active, but we mean, in other words, it wasn't done, the mitzvah wasn't fully, the mitzvah wasn't done in the proper way. My time of a yoke of a fun of it. Because after all, the pasuk says she has to spit in his presence, and here it wasn't in his presence. Hilkoch, so therefore, continues Abaya. Who oruch igutza? If he's tall and she's short, no problem. Even if the wind blew away the spit, nevertheless, when it came out of her mouth, it was in front of him because she's shorter than him. So that's fine. So even if then the wind grabbed it and blew it away, then it'll still be fine. On the other hand, he aruch of all goods. But if she's tall and he's short, but in then it has to at least reach the level of his face. And then afterwards, if the wind blows it away, then fine. It has to at some point be in front of his face. Omar Rava, another din in this connection. Ochla tum of a roksa. If the yavama ate garlic before they came to do their chalitza, and then she spit, or ochla gardisht of a roksa. Or if she ate gaudishka, which is a type of clay earth, sometimes it's not normally something that you would eat, but it has minerals in it, so maybe sometimes a person is deficient in minerals, they might eat a little bit of it. Anyway, so in those cases, loy veroxa, and then she spits, loy osa, loy klum, again, it doesn't count because then the spit is coming as a result of the garlic, or as a result of the gaudishka, rather than coming normally as spit usually does. My time of a yoke, the in and balacha, because it has to be the yoke that she does it on her own without being the garlic causes, like the causes the saliva almost to dribble out rather than to come out normally, and therefore that's no good. I guess you can still stimulate, but I guess the point is that's still it. The Dayanim actually have to see the saliva coming out of the Yavama's mouth. So it's not just enough. They see it on the ground. They actually have to see it coming out of her mouth. Okay, the Mishnah had finished off the Nikra Shema B'Yisrael based Chalutz HaNoal Mitzvah Dayanim Vlad Talmidim. We said that the Tanakhama had said that only the Dayanim have to say Chalutz HaNoal, and Rabbi Yehuda disagreed. So the Gemara says, Tanya Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Pam Achas Yunu Yosh Fin Lifnei of Tarifin. One time he was sitting as Talmidim in front of a Tarifin, Ubasi Yavama Lachlitz, and Yavama came to do Chalitza. But Omer Lodu, and Rabbi Tarifin said to us Talmidim, Anu Kulchem Chalutz HaNoal, Chalutz HaNoal, Chalutz HaNoal. All of you should say that three times, and that's how you do it. Why three times? Because when you have something that needs a pirsum, you say it three times. We find, for example, when they harvested the Omer, where they said everything three times. Magal's there, Shabbos Ayim, Shabbos Ayim, Shabbos Ayim, etc. Each time, they said everything three times. So we mafousim it the same way we want to be mafousim that there was a halitza done over here, for reasons that Rashi explains with you in the paragraph, because number one, this way it informs people that she's available, and number two, it reminds Kohenim not to marry her, because Kohen is also to marry a halitza. Hadron Allah Mitzvah Chalitza. Thank you, everyone.